Hello everyone, this is Vikas and you are listening to Run With Vipage. This is episode number 148 and we continue to go solo. This is another topic that will help you run better, and also this will help you have a better running experience. The topic today that I am covering, that is how to have a good race day experience, how to avoid race day pitfalls, and how to come out victorious at the end of the race. The moment we think of racing, starting from 5 kilometers onwards, we start to think of pain, isn't it? It hurts so much. If you're a beginner, you will see that it hurts anyway, regardless of distance or time that you're going after. If you're an experienced runner, how do you do certain things in early parts of the race will help you decide whether you're going to have an enjoyable race or a hurtful one. If you've not planned your day, or rather the previous day, very well, you might be up for a trap. Small things, but these have larger impact to keep in mind. Let us start. And you will see most of these points are on the basis of experience. Most of these points are on the basis of science and also on the basis of my conversation with other runners. I will start from the very start. That is early morning when you start to get ready to go for the race. Why I'm saying this here is because how you poop in the morning will decide how you have an experience during the race. You do not want to have an uncomfortable tummy. You do not want to have a slushing stomach when you are running, isn't it? I've seen in many races here in India, and there has been a bad media coverage as well because of that, that people right after starting the run, they have stopped and they were peeing on the side. Of course, not a great sight, isn't it? We all are civilized and we want to make sure we all together are putting a good show. But at times, nature's call is much stronger than our desire of how we want to be. So when you wake up, try and see that you are waking up in a way that you reach the start line about 45 minutes to an hour before the race starts. Of course, here in India, reaching before that is not of great value. So you want to be at the start line 45 minutes to an hour before. And for you to get there in that much time, you need to make sure that you have woken up, you have given some time to your stomach for it to settle in and allow you to freshen up early in the morning. Also, that will give you enough time for you to have some breakfast and be able to digest while you're traveling and doing other things. I try to wake up about 2.5 hours before starting a race, if it is a local race here in India. Why I do it? For example, if 5 a.m. or 5:30 is the start of the race, I will try to wake up by 3. If I wake up by 3, I'm able to get some water in. I will prefer warm water in the morning. It psychologically, as well as I think physiologically, it helps me think that I'm going to pass a stool pretty quickly. I'm not going to drink a lot of water, but rather just one glass, either hot one glass of water or maybe a caffeinated drink, a coffee or something like that. Give it 10 to 15 minutes. Try to do other things. Get your bibs ready. Get your shoes ready. Maybe shave, freshen up, etc. Otherwise, and by then you'll be ready to go to the bathroom. That's the number one thing. Why I'm focusing so much around your stool, your poop? That is because when you get to the start line, you do not want to be in those long queues, which most of the times will get unhygienic because the way these toilets are used. Also, if you were not able to go there and you were in the queue and the race started, you want to go somewhere on the way. Who wants to stop on the way in a race? No one, right? And that is why you need to make sure you're better settled at home itself so that you do not have to go when you are in the race. You will always see when you are stressed out, early in the morning on the race day, we tend to drink more and at times maybe eat more. In fact, we are worried, what if we don't get water on the way and things like those? Because of that, we tend to drink more. And you will see, one, it does not help you pass a stool right away. And second, as soon as you see the start line, you will start to de-stress a little because first you are in this logistics hassle of reaching the start line on time. And when you see it, you are calming down, you start to warm up, etc. Your muscles start to warm up. You will all of a sudden see an urge for you to go to the toilet. And you want to avoid that for the reasons that I told you earlier. And because of that, I'm saying do not consume a lot of water early in the morning, maybe not more than a glass, small coffee if you need or tea, and maybe 200 ml of water or 250 ml of water, not a lot. Otherwise, as you go and run right before the start line, right before the start of the race, you can start to drink, sip a little water as well as electrolytes as you need, but not for the purposes of you passing stool. That's number one. Second thing that you want to be ready right here is get your bib ready. Okay. I have tried both types of bib pins. One is the magnetic one, and second one is the one with the very traditional safety pins. The magnetic ones, though they are very strong, at times there is an issue. That is, if you are running or if you are in the crowd, someone snatches something or pushes unknowingly to you, you will see that the magnetic strips might just come off, magnetic buttons might come off. And because of that, after a lot of deliberation and after a lot of experiments, I have resorted to be with the safety pins. Third, chafing. In India, chafing is very common. If you are a sweater, and even if you're actually not a good sweater, doesn't matter, because of the weather conditions, as the race starts to become, as the race starts to mature, the sun starts to come in, you start to feel warm, and you start to pour water. The moment you pour water on yourself, it starts to interact with your skin, correct? If you're pouring water on your body. And if you're wearing clothes, that is starting to get a little heavy. And in all the cases, it will. It will absorb some water. It will get heavy. Your skin will be a little softer. And as a result, you will for sure be starting to chafe. And the most common areas for chafing are the nipple areas and your thighs. For you to avoid these, what you want to do is one of the two things. Actually, one other place where you chafe a lot is on your lower back, specifically if you're holding anything in your back pocket. Why it happens is because as you're running, that particular product starts to jump and you will start to chafe after a while, even though that small product is very, very small, doesn't matter. Because it is jumping so many times for hours, it will start to hurt you. Now, what do? You do one of the two things. One, if you are aware that you're going to chafe for sure, the best way of managing it is that on your nipples, put a tape. I try to put a bandage. Actually, it helps me really well. I try to put a waterproof bandage. I know when I'm going to remove, it's going to be hurtful, but it's better than I hurting and bleeding all through the race. The second thing that you can do is apply a very good quality gel. These gels are for anti-chafing purposes, and you want to make sure that you have spent some money in getting a good quality anti-chafing gel. Vaseline is considered good as well, but depends from person to person and depends how much are you sweating and also depends on how much of water are you pouring throughout the race on yourself. One of the two things you want to do, if you want to do both, that may not be the good thing. For example, you applied the gel and then you try to put the bandaid on it. Neither of the two are going to be effective together because of the surface area that's now wet, you will see that the bandaid is not sticking onto it. And so what you want to do is use one of the two. Also, try and carry some of these bandages, not bandages, band-aid. Try and carry some of it in your pocket. On the way, if you start to chafe at one place for whatever reason, you want to make sure that you are covered. Next, I'm now coming to the start line. And as you reach there, of course, I'm not going to talk about apparel, shoes, applying talcum powder on your feet, etc., because I have covered all of these earlier. I want to get to the race fairly quickly because I want to talk about how do you pace in the race. That is one of the most crucial components. Okay. as you reach to the race, if you have managed your drinks, hydration, and your food well, high chances you will not have to go to the toilet here. And that is already a good sign. Make sure your shoes are tight enough. Maybe apply one more times, tighten one more times your laces, and get ready to run. Spend some time in warming up. I am saying spend some time in warming up for a reason. You want to warm up the same working muscles that you are going to apply in your racing. So what are your primary working muscles here? You want to get your heart rate up by working out your lower extremities, that is your legs. So what you want to do is you want to wake up your legs. You want to do some short sprints. You want to do some mobility exercises of your legs. You want to not be doing push-ups. Of course, not be doing sit-ups, because that's going to help you run the race really fast today. You're not going to make yourself fitter anymore, right? So you want to make sure that you're only warming up those muscles, i.e. lower extremities, that will help you run better. When you have warmed up well, you also have better sense of your exertion. You have better sense of your body of how much can you push. Why I'm also saying that you need to do this is because if you've warmed up sufficiently, you are sweating well right before starting the race, and your heart rate is slightly elevated, you will see that in the first kilometer of your race, you're not going to run very, very fast. Because if your body is cold, if your body is not fully warmed up, your body does not know how fast you need to start right in the start. Because by the time the systems kick in and you start to figure out how fast are you running, by then maybe it's already too fast. So make sure you spend enough time on your warm-up. Now, let's get to the most important aspect of racing during the race. That is your pacing. And I have seen repeatedly, years after years, race after race, people spending too much time in thinking about how to race, but at the end, they race the way they've been racing forever. They do the exact same mistakes, and there is no way to avoid that, isn't it? I'm sure if you're listening, you'll see, yeah, I thought of it in the last race that I'm going to start slow, but again, I started fast and I hurt later. Why this happens? Right at the start line, the energy is eclectic. Right at the start, you see your heart rate is racing. And as soon as the run starts, you want to look that you are running really well. And as a result, you want to start running fast. You feel the wind and you feel like, yeah, I'm doing it. And these all are the pitfalls. You have to decide between being disciplined or feeling well. If you are disciplined early on, you will feel well later. But if you want to feel well in the start, that is running fast, raising your heart rate, feeling the wind, you will hurt and you will hurt a lot. Let us get through this a little more in detail. There are generally three types of pacing. What is pacing? How do you plan your race kilometers by kilometers or mile by mile or by one landmark to another landmark, and how fast or slow do you run that race? Okay. If you've reached till here and you're starting to run, well done, because you've already trained, you've already planned everything well, you have done your logistics well so that you can reach the start line in time. Also know that unless you are running in the elite category, more often than not, your timing that is being taken with the chip time and not with the gun time, with an exception of a couple of races here in India and maybe one only, that is Satara Hill Half Marathon, but that's fine. You want to look at your own time, that is the chip time. So it starts only when you cross the start line and it ends when you cross the finish line. So it does not matter who you start behind, who you start before. Of course, if crowd is another reason, that's a different thing, that you want to get to the start line as fast as possible. But otherwise, it's your time, it's your race. You do not have to be competing with someone or against someone, unless it's friendly and you think the paces are similar. So There are three types of pacing. One, that is you start at the same speed that you finish at, and throughout the entire duration of the race, you run at similar speed or similar pace. Both are the same thing, both inversely proportionate to each other, but they recognize and they signify the same thing. That is called even splits. That is, if you're going to run 10 kilometers in 60 minutes, even split will mean that your every kilometer you should run in 6 minutes or around that much. That is called your even split. The second one is positive split. Positive split is something where you start fast and you run slow towards the end. What does that mean? If you're going to run 60 minutes, 10 kilometers, and 6 minutes your average pace, that means you start at around 5 minutes or 5:20, 5:30, and you average out in a way that towards the second half of the race, you are running at 6:30 pace or something like that, right? So earlier you were taking 5 minutes or 5 minutes 30 seconds for a kilometer, and later you're taking about 6 minutes 30 seconds for a kilometer. And again, it will average out to be the same. Third one is called negative split, which is that your second half of the race is faster than first of the race. That is, you start slow. As you graduate in the race, you start to pick up your pace. So if you're going to run 10 kilometers in 60 minutes, that is a 6 minutes average, you start at 6:30 pace or something, and the second half of the race could be 5:30 pace or something like that. That again comes to be a 6 minute pace. Now, let us discuss which of these is better and which of these is not good. Most of us, assuming that the course that you're going to run, if it is flat, most of us run a positive split. That is, we start fast and we start to get slower as the run progresses. Some of us do even splits. That is, we run exact around the same pace from start to end. And very few of us, we do the negative split. That is, we start slow and we pick up the pace as the race graduates. Okay? Now let us understand which of the three is good for you. But before that, also know, I am not incorporating the variables of incline, elevation of the route, or any other variables of the route. You will see the route profiles are very different, and so you need to race very differently for each of those races. But I am assuming most of us, a race that we are going to do, with an exception of some inclines, etc., most of the races are generally flat course here in India. Of course, unless you are doing some of the races on the hill and races that have specific route profile that has significant hilly elevation, etc. But we are still only talking about almost flat courses. If you find a pedder road incline in between, I'm not going to consider that as a hilly course. It is not. And it's just a kilometer or two that you need to address differently. And we will talk about that later. How exactly do you address that? So what happens if you start to run too fast? As you start to run too fast, right in the start of the race, like I said, you start to feel well. Hey, the wind is flowing by your ears. You're feeling pretty good. And as the race progresses, slowly, slowly, you will realize that you start to become breathless. Your both legs start to perform less better. You start to feel pain. And towards the end, you will have a very painful, hurtful, and almost a situation that arises that you're never going to race again. Does it sound familiar? I'm sure it does, because most of us go through that suffering most of the times. And we can avoid that. When you start your run, if you have warmed up well, you need to keep this in mind that the first few kilometers of the race are exploratory. What does that mean? Much like when we start to trek somewhere, or if we go somewhere and we start to ride, etc., what we do first? First, we settle in that environment, isn't it? First, we try to take some time and understand how our body is feeling, how that course is. Do you start to pace really, really fast right from the start if you're riding a bike? No, right? You put the bike in your first gear, then second, then third, then fourth, and fifth, and then you are just sailing through it. When a plane takes off, the plane is taking off, it's going up and up and up, and then it's stabilizing, then it's coming down and down and down, right? What I'm trying to say is, you need to look at your race in slightly similar way as well. As you start your race, you want to start to think that you're starting your race more like you're putting the race in the first gear. What I mean by putting that in the first gear, it means that the first gear always have a lot of resistance, and you will see it is not fast, it makes a lot of noise. I'm not saying you need to make a lot of noise, but you need to apply the other two. That is, it has a lot of resistance. In the start, you would want to run faster, but make sure you create that resistance in a way that you are stopping your urge from running faster. Also, you need to keep telling, let me warm up, let me rev it up a little before I get to gear two. So as you start to run, first put your body in gear one. As you move forward to some more distance, put that in gear two. Then put it in gear three and be there. Do not try to move fast too much. You will see it's uncomfortable, like how the noisy gear one and two and three is, because the moment you get to the fifth gear, you always feel, it's so smooth and silky, right? But if that is what you want to start feeling right from the start, later you're going to heat up and you will stop, okay? So your first couple of kilometers, let your body's energy system kick in and start to tell you that your perceived sense of effort is the similar sense of effort that your body is actually putting. What do I mean? If it is cold, or if the temperature is little better, you will generally feel that in the start, up until you start to sweat and you become breathless, you think you're running well. But that is not how it should be. Because if you start to be breathless right in the start, if you start to feel too well right in the start, that the wind is blowing, etc., it is already too late. You possibly are going to go through the furnace very soon. You will not sweat right away. And by the time you start to sweat, and sweat a lot, you will see that you have run out too fast, and you are going to pay for this in the entire course of the race. So I said, take first couple of kilometers in gear one, two, and three. Now, once you've spent 10, 15 minutes into your race, your body will start to tell you, how are you doing? Look at your heart rate. Your heart rate should be stabilized by now. And you should look at your heart rate for sure. I'm recommending you wear a watch that has a heart rate monitor, and a good one. If you have a faulty heart rate monitor, it will get you to be stressed out. But try to have a good heart rate monitor, because that is a sense of exertion, similar to how a power meter tells you your power, either power meter or heart rate monitor. I always go with the heart rate monitor. It's a lot easier to get by as well. So have a heart rate monitor. Put that heart rate monitor screen on one of your primary screens and try and see that for similar pace after a couple of kilometers, your heart rate is not rising up a lot. Have you seen when a flight is taking off? First 15 minutes or so, it's rising, right? It's going up and up and up. And all of a sudden you'll see there is a particular sound and then stabilizes, right? Just feels like it's not moving only, but now it's moving the fastest. So what do? You follow the same methodology here in running. After a couple of kilometers, after 15, 20 minutes or so, you should stabilize that your heart rate is like a particular number in the odometer that is not changing. Meaning, If your heart rate is, say, for example, 160, and you're running a 21 kilometer, if you have reached that 160 at about 3 kilometers, try and be around that only. Don't try now in a way that, hey, you're further rising. You can't keep climbing up. You'll get too close to the sun, isn't it? Very, very similar to that. You can't just keep running faster. You can't keep getting your heart rate up and up. Try to stabilize your heart rate to be around that number for as much as possible. If it goes up and down a couple of beats here and there, that's okay. Have you seen like the small bumps in on the plane when you're riding? It goes a little up or down, but remains almost at around same particular elevation that's been suggested for the airplane. Exactly the same way you need to be here. And trust me, it works so well for me. I in fact try to match the heart rate to the same number that I reach at around 3 kilometers, and I try to just be at that. I don't even let it change by one or two beats. But I'm not saying you need to become stickler of that and you start to stress out that, hey, you will not change it at all. And you will start to stress out if it goes up or down by a few beats. So try and be there. As you progress in the race, as you consume electrolytes and your energy gels, I suggest that every hour, try and consume 200 calories of energy. That is, if you are consuming a gel, maybe it's a 2-gel. Generally, a gel has about 25 gram of carbohydrate. If you can consume more, nothing like it. But you should be able to digest as well, keep in your stomach and not vomit. Try and also consume electrolytes and water, about 250 ml every 20 minutes or so. And just be there, just keep cruising, okay? If you are eating good food on the way, and I say good food is gel is the good food, a simple carbohydrate is the good food, food without less fat, protein, and fiber is a good food now during the race, you will see that your body is not pushing too much. You're going well, your heart rate is not rising. But if you see you start to see rise in your heart rate, that means you are pushing too fast, and calm down. Calm down up until a point that you reach the second half of the race. Now, when you reach the second half of the race, try and see how have you felt so far, okay? How you felt at kilometer 3, how you felt at kilometer 5. If it is a half marathon, for example, how you felt at kilometer 8, 10, and at the midway point. Now, after the midway point, you do not need to start pushing too much as yet. What do you need to do? Still try to be there. If it's a half marathon, you will see last 5-6 kilometers can actually change the course of your racing. If you feel you have energy left, in the last 5-6 kilometers, you can push the pedal and get to the gear 5 and just be there. Okay? If you think that you cannot push too much, then try to push it a little. But as you push it a little, you will see your heart rate will also push a little and stabilize there and not keep rising up. If it's continuing to keep rising up and went up by 20 beats in the next kilometer, high chances you're not going to hold that pace for next 5-6 kilometers. So you need to see that your heart rate is slowly rising. And last couple of kilometers, of course, you can go as fast as you would like. Even if it's hurting, now you do not need to look at your heart rate. Now you need to look at, can you push a little more and still be there? Can you psychologically feel that, hey, I'm going to go faster and see how I do it? If you dial in and you feel somewhere it's hurting, try to reduce a bit. Take a bit of break, pour some water on you, and then keep going. If it is a marathon, the last 10 kilometers of the marathon itself is a half marathon, right? You need to make sure that you hold on to the paces that you are at until 32, 33 kilometers. If you're still feeling well, then you start to push the pedal, not up until then, okay? And you will see more often than not, by the end of the race, you will get to be in a negative split. When you are in this kind of pacing, you will see that you are not hurting as much. Even if you hurt, you will not hurt for as long as you would if you were doing a positive split. know that there is a saying, and I totally believe in it, that says, if you start to run too fast early on in the race, for every second faster that you ran, in the later parts of the race, you will pay off by giving 2 seconds at least. Okay? Every 1 second that you run faster early on, you will give 2 seconds later. Okay? If you run 6 minutes faster in the first half, high possibility that you'll be 12 minutes. If you ran 6 minutes faster in the first half, maybe 12 minutes slower in the second half. So you do not want to be in that situation. But even if you ran too slow right in the start, every second that you ran very, very slow, you only give out half a second in the second half or in the entire race. That is still very positive, right? So you want to make sure that you're not running fast for sure. I talked about 3 types of pacing. I talked about positive split. I talked about negative split and even. You'll see that I have not spent a lot of time on talking about even split is because if you are attempting for a negative split, if you don't get to that, you will get closer to doing an even split. And that will serve the purpose as well. Now let us quickly include the variable of elevation. It is important for you to keep in mind. The elevation profile of the race defines a lot. You cannot just keep going at the same pace as you are going on a plain surface as compared to when you run uphill or downhill. Also, when you run uphill, if you're looking at your heart rate monitor, generally the heart rate that shows on your watch is delayed, especially when you're going uphill, and same is the case for downhill. As a result, what happens, the higher heart rate that you will see much later as you start to gain elevation. So what you need to do is instead of you looking at your heart rate, now you need to look at your effort. Make your steps smaller, look down closer to your body and keep going up. It is okay if you have been 1 minute, 2 minutes even slow on the incline for a kilometer, when you go down, you can cover for it after maybe taking a small break. And if you have not, towards the later end of the race, you can cover for it while running a little faster. But if you try to go fast on the hill, you will pay so much terribly more later. I think if every 1 second faster you go up the hill, you pay at least 10 seconds later in the race. And you don't want to be in that situation. And it's very, very hurtful. Okay. Once you reach the red zone where your heart rate is reaching close to your MHR, coming down from there and then picking up the pace becomes almost impossible. And my suggestion will be that do not look at your heart rate monitor to go up or down the hill. You should look at on the effort basis. Also, you can look at power meter if you have, so that you produce similar power. And then power is also almost instant that is reflected on your watch in case your watch has that feature. If not, that's absolutely fine. Account for it on the basis of the effort. And downhill, don't take too big steps. Take smaller steps only, but quicker steps, and you can run faster while going. Be in control of your body. Otherwise, you will pull something or you will fall down and have some injury, etc. If you kept all of these in mind, in my experience, you will have a super good race experience. And if you have super good race experience, you will for sure be getting closer to your optimal performance. Good luck. This much for today, and I'll speak with you next week. Bye.